Subject today is prayer in the time of danger. You know, sometimes we just find ourselves in that we need to just cry out to the Lord, and we need you, God, and we need you right now. Sometimes we pray prayers that God give me this in the future. You know, God, I got windows in my life, a 5-year window, 10-year window, a 3-year window, that I want this to be accomplished. Or so God, within that 5 years, this, that, and the other, I want to have. So those kind of things that you set goals for yourself. But there's every now and then you need him right now. It's an urgency, and that you feel that urgency. And let me tell you something about urgencies. Just because somebody else don't see your situation as an urgency, don't pay that man a bit of mind. Get that out your mind. Don't let them lead you like that. Because some people is not an urgency because they ain't in the same boat with you. If we always in that same boat, we always have that urgency, y'all. See, so some people, it's not that they are all that spiritual when they're telling you that. A lot of times you're telling me that because you ain't in this boat. And some of y'all, bless the Lord, you ain't never been in that boat and never will be in that boat. No, I'm serious. There's some things ain't going to happen to everybody. Everybody ain't going to be destitute of money. That ain't going to happen to everybody. But a lot of us, it will. A lot of us may not have these great sicknesses, but some of us will. So if you wasn't the one that God had prone that, and this ain't gonna happen to you, this to you, which ain't gonna never happen to you. You love the Lord, and I love the Lord, but you got some things you were saying, and you don't really know. You don't mean no harm. Because you're spiritual. But you don't really know. You ain't in the same boat. But let me catch a person in the same boat. Now you really can get spiritual. Because we're in the same boat. But then there's something. When you get afraid, even though Jesus is in the boat with you, his presence is there, you still get afraid. So don't tell me because I'm saved, you ain't got no business. Well, that means some things got to be in place. Now if you want to tell me, okay, put this in place, and it'll help you in that area. But don't tell me I ain't got no business. I'm human. He haven't eradicated my humanity. That old nature. Fighting right now. I'm up here preaching the word of God. Been preaching the word of God for years. The flesh and spirit is battling up here. Every Sunday I've been preaching for 35 years from this 30 at the church. Every day there's a battle going on in the pastor. Flesh and the spirit. It's going on in you too. I'm just saying what the scriptures say. And the two are contrary. I'm preaching the word of God, standing here where the flesh and spirit is fighting on stage. Contrary to one another. And God say, still preach my word. But God, why don't you at least for the preacher take his out? So he can have free reign. No, you don't tell me what to do. I'm going to leave it in. Because I'm going to see who you yield to. See, the flesh That old nature is after you to control you. The Holy Ghost is after you to control you. See, God say, be ye filled with the Spirit of God. We ain't always filled. More than one feeling. Am I right about it? But I tell you, I just think about the Word of God, about what's going on in reality of life. And I said, wow, God, you're something. That's the way you do things. You mean you're gonna do nothing special for me to preach to your great people who love the Lord? I'm not going to be a special person. I mean, come on, Lord, they need something. They need something great. He said, yeah, me. See, I'm already in the believer, and I'm in you, but I'm also in you with a commission. You got a commission. I handpicked you not just for salvation, but to be an overseer. Hey, I was handpicked for salvation and to preach. Well, you had to help me, God. He just called on me. Okay. I'm about three-thirds now, so I got one. Okay. Prayer in the time of danger. Coming from Matthew chapter 8 and 25 through 27, familiar passage. Jesus is always working hard. He's going to work while it's day. He's going to do all it is, he said, when he was on earth with his Father. Let's look at this. All of this is good, but I want to. I'm gonna just start reading for 18, but that's not where I want to go. I gave you 25 to 27, but I wanna just read down because all of it's good. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You sure you want to follow somebody? Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go. I got some things to do here first. And bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me. Put me first and go follow me. Just putting you to a little test. That ain't where I want to go, but I'm just reading that because it sounds good. And let the dead bury their own dead. Wow. Come on, follow me. I'm going to save you. I'm going to give you life. You're dead in trespasses and sin before you follow me. So those unsaved can go bury them or whatever like that. I'm just testing you right now. But let me get to where I want to go now. Because that's there. Now, when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Now, what we want to see right now, they're getting in the boat. This is a familiar passage. But his disciples followed him in the boat. You see that? Now, his disciples is in the boat with Christ. Wow. So whatever happens to that boat in that boat, under that boat, over that boat, around that boat, all are included in the danger. Am I right about it? And if you have been following Christ for a minute, you'll realize that he has some powers that nobody else has. He has some ways of loving folk like nobody have ever seen. He's somebody, isn't he? And he's in the boat with you. I'm going somewhere with this. So is it all right if I take my time? You see, because some people want to tell people, you ain't had no problem if you get saved. That's one of the biggest lies ever been. You getting saved don't necessarily stop your problems. But what it does, you got somebody now to cast your problems on. Didn't he tell me? So don't tell him you don't have none. And if you live godly, you may have a little bit more. But when they come, you are prepared if you understand your preparation. If you understand who have prepared you and that they're in the boat with you. And sometimes he don't quiet your storm as fast as he do your storm. See, my boat and my storm may be still rocking. While yours rocked for a minute, and then it stopped. And then you, I praise God and thank you, Jesus, which is good. But mine is still rocking. So that means, as he was in your boat, and he had a shelf life on your suffering. He's in mine. He got one too. But the length of times are different. Somebody just ought to tell me, it ain't your time yet, Rick. You keep praising him. You need that message you preach it to yourself. Huh? Oh, my Lord, let me. Let me get through it and come back. I tell you, because I want all who know Christ understand what position you in at this season of your life. You may not have been in this position, this place in the summer season of your life. 3 years of being, I don't know what moment. But if you keep living, there are seasons of life that's going to overtake you. But you need to know Christ was back here in the summertime with you. Christ is here in the springtime with you. Christ will go through the winter times with you. You got to know he's the same today and yesterday and forevermore. He's still the same. So there are some things I got to learn and keep on learning about my Savior. You see, when people say there's nobody going to do you like Jesus, that's all right for a good saying, but I got to know it for a truth in my own heart. Because you who know it for a certainty, you will prosper. You will not curse God. You're going to be all right. But you got to realize everybody is not where you are. So we got to break this thing down. Build it up. Because there's different seasons. You see, you may be in the summer of your season. And there's no temperance against your boat. But I'm in the middle of the storm. And it's rocking my house. Rocking my brain. Rocking my ministry. And I'm crying out to God. You call me. You place me. What's going on? Do you want me to quit? You want me to stop? Tell me. I'll do it. But let me know. The tempest. I know you are with me. No doubt. Never doubted it. Every shoe don't fit every feet. Never meant to be. But the word of God have instructions. The word of God can bring peace. The word of God can give understanding where Satan have stole some from you. The enemy is still trying to kill you. You can't get no safer than you are. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, is this, because I don't fully understand, are you permitting me to be pulled away? I mean, what's going on? Because if you are, there's a certain protection I bring to the flock, spiritual protection that I bring to the flock. Read your Bibles. So I can't see you not having that for your flock. All through the word of God, you speak of the elders, the overseers. Paul grabbed them. Peter grabbed them. Your great apostles. Paul grabbed them and gave them instructions. Peter gave them instructions. Man, God has set this thing for you to take the oversight, man. No. This ain't dealing with the saints. This dealing with you taking oversight. I'm talking to you now. Well, you don't need that, do you? Man, stop talking stupid. Yes, he needed it. He needed it because he declared it. He appointed it. And he's not dumb, ignorant in no kind of way. He knows it all. So there's things that go through your mind that you wrestle with, and the enemy, if you're not careful, he will draw you away. He'll get too much of your attention, and that's when you feel a prayer coming through, somebody praying for you, somebody understand the danger that's around us, some understand the spiritual danger as well as the physical danger. We saw the physical and maybe spiritual danger too in Virginia Beach. With all those people, they didn't go to work to die. They didn't. But we don't know the time or the place or the situation. We don't know the how. We know we're going to die. There's an appointment. They didn't know their appointment would be kept at work. Though that should have been a day they wouldn't have made it to work. But see, we don't know where our appointment is going to take place, nor when it's going to take place, but we do know it's going to take place. So therefore, being that we know it's going to take place, we got to be prepared, whether at work, at school, at an eatery, wherever we are, you got to be prepared with Jesus. You don't know when or where or how it's going to happen. So you want to be prepared when it happens. It ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it taking place. It will take place. It will take place. But be prepared. And don't have to lie flying around at the funerals. If these people were unsaved, well, they're in a better place. They're not in a better place if they're not saved. Stop telling that lie. Now, if they're saved, they are. Because if you're saved, you're the one absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're the one got a house that's not made with hands. You're the one that he spoke about, let not your heart be troubled if you believe. He's talking about believers, his disciples, and those that will come after him. He said the prerequisite to the believer, don't let yours be troubled. You see, you can look at other people's troubles and think they're your troubles, and they're not really your troubles, because I have solved your troubles. See, Christ said when you were in Christ, when you got to be put in Christ, and Christ in you, I took your troubles. I know every now and then the winds and your troubles may blow, but you ain't really got no real troubles. No. You see, because I made all things new, and right now you don't have your new body. So the troubles that you're feeling is from that flesh, huh? And the attacks of the devil and his cohorts, huh? But every now and then you tell him when Satan hit, you tell him who created him. You were Lucifer, huh? That beautiful angel that could play instruments, oh, beautifully. And you gonna take over heaven, and I kick you out. No matter what he do, look at Job at our conversation. This time, don't necessarily look at what Job went through, but look at my conversation with the devil that's attacking you. I asked him, what is he doing? He told me, he didn't lie to me. This one time he didn't lie. I already knew what he was doing, but he told me what he was doing. But you notice I had to give him permission. And see, that's the thing that bothered me sometimes. I said, Lord, did you give somebody permission to bother me? But God said, none of you. That's my business. I don't know about you. See, I say that. I know you heard people say that. But it's true. I know it's true with me. Because I inquire. I pray. I read the scriptures, search the scriptures. I inquire. And sometimes I just come up with an answer. Not always. Sometimes I get an answer. But sometimes I ain't telling you nothing. See, because let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. See, bro, Hebrew, sometimes when you don't get an answer to your request, what God is doing, okay, yeah, I can answer you if I want to, but I don't want to. Maybe I'm looking for something else. I'm going to let you walk around for a while. See, you remember, I would answer, bam, 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 bam. No, go back. Yeah, Lord, bam. Bam, you hitting on all. Rick's hitting on all cylinders. Bam, 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 bam. But I don't want it to be that you will serve me. Of course, you're one of the guys that get a lot of answer to your prayer. I want to know, would you serve me when you're hurting? Would you still let me preach to you and through you? I want to know when I'm not going to dot this I across this T spiritually in your life. I wonder, are you convinced whether I take it, whether I make it strange to you? I want to know, is one thing clear? Our relationship. Can you live today because of the promises I've given you for tomorrow? And in that tomorrow, there's nothing called temporal or temporary. It's eternal. And I just want to know that you're doing this because of me, not necessarily what I'm doing or not doing, just because of who I am. Some of us, your thorn in the flesh is not going to be removed. But I'm going to put you on display. Some of us got situations you've been dealing with it. You've been praying about it and whatever like that. And sometimes, not every time, but sometimes God ain't going to remove it because he got you on display. He got you on display to say, look how she's serving. Look how she, where she going. And God, you know what she want. And yet, I'm going to delay it. But I'm going to watch her work. See, when God delaying some things in your life, it's because he's watching you work on because of the promises. Not because you got it. He promised it. Huh? Like a farmer may go out and he don't know if he's going to get rain or not. But the saved farmer will go out. He said, God, you promised. Huh? I don't know how you're going to save these crops or where you're going to let them burn in the field. But I got confidence in you that you know my needs. So if they burn in the field, you must got something else. You know, it's one thing with us. We preach, we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also preach about his suffering. We speak about his shame, right? See, you got to realize because we passed back and we're so glad about that salvation, he despised the shame. He didn't despise the purpose, but the shame. Oh! Are there some things in my life I can actually despise, but be careful what is producing? I don't need this. I gotta go through the shame because of what it's producing. Without the shame of this, because I'm gonna become the sin bearer that I give away my righteous. I gotta drink this bitter cup in order to give you my righteousness. I got to be stripped naked and beaten with the cat of nine tails and spat upon right in my face. Talked about like a dog. But it's not what I'm going through, the pain, but the gain. Sometimes God will permit you to go through, but hold on. God will permit you to go through, but don't be moved by what you're going through. You wait on the Lord. You be of good courage. You wait on him. You heard me? You let him know, Lord, I'm waiting till my change comes. And not only am I waiting till my change comes, I'm occupying till it comes. Occupy me, no, don't sit on the premises and do nothing. Occupy me, I'm going to still work while I'm hurting. So you'll say, God, he worked when he won't hurting. He worked when he was hurting. He worked when he knew what to do. When the boy don't know what to do, he's still working for me. For God, I live. God, I'll die. It is Jesus. Sometimes your storm still come. That don't mean he left the boat. He can be still in the boat. Know what's going on. But yet, he let the tempest rock you a little bit. Sometimes it's rock with our children. Rock with our spouses. Walk with our occupation. Walk with our education. Walk with, we don't know what to do. Money didn't satisfy me. Marriage don't satisfy me. Now, God don't even satisfy me. That's why we got to keep coming. Don't worry about who don't come. Stop that. Stop that. Because I'm going to tell you something. They are doing what they want to do. And I'm telling you, you can't get enough of the Word of God. Because you can't exhaust one jot or tittle. Not one of them. So pray for them. But don't worry yourself. To a point, you start pulling the same stunts. Time is far spent. Christ is on his way back. Be who he created you to be. We may struggle, that's okay. We help you out. Y'all see me struggle, somebody come get in my arm. On both sides, don't sit right there and watch. Boom. No, I'm not going to do that. Come on, man. Come on. I know the Lord. I know the Lord, and I know you. No. Come on. You all right? I'm going to help you. No. You need to do what God told you to do. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe he told you to do this. But I'm going to help you. When they get down, no, not on my watch. They go down somebody else's watch, not on my watch, because I'm too spiritual to go down. I have a discernment about me. I can discern. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Anybody here got some spiritual discernment? Okay. Okay. A lot of hands went up. Use it. I'm not going to say you don't have it. That's your spirit, maybe your spiritual gift. But let me move on. Woo, Lord got me caught up here. But let's finish. One thing about it ain't but a few verses. Okay, let's go. Verse 24, there arose a great tempest, a great storm. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Man, sometimes it's like you're covered up with your situation, and it seems like to you, not to nobody else, but maybe to you during those times, that God is asleep, or he's not listening, or he's not answering, or whatever like that. That he seemed to be asleep. But in this case, he was tired. He was working. And this also showed his humanity. You see, he was God. He was the God-man. Okay? 100% man and 100% God. And he was 100% man with no sin. You see, because his body was not formed from Adam. You see, for man to be a sinner, born a sinner, he had to come from Adam. Always remember that. The first human being that God created on earth, he had to come through Adam. But you see, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and brought about Christ's body. You got to see this, because had he came out a sinner, he couldn't die for us. All right? So yes, he's 100% human, but holy, holy, holy human with no sin. And now sometimes storms, we face sickness, sorrow, financial problems, uncertainties. You know, uncertainties and problems are not unescapable for Christians, no more than it is. Okay, sometimes the physical death that one die, sometimes the Christian may die a worse physical death than unsaved person. Okay, so don't. That's why a lot of people say, "Man, I know them people say, why did the Lord let them go in that house, rape that godly woman?" As old as she was, killed the grandkids she was babysitting, trying to help the family out. And the daughter was just trying to come to the Lord because she saw the love of God in her mom that this Satan did this tragic thing to. You know, so don't go around telling people because you saved ain't nothing gonna happen to you. You stop, you don't know that. We're talking about physically now. All right, now let me separate me and make it clear, okay? But I wouldn't be wearing these glasses. Something happened to me. I didn't always wear glasses. Man, I could see real good. And I remember when I got down to base and trying to make them pause and stuff on that lathe, there's no, I couldn't see that good. So, you know, now I had to go over to the dispensary and get me some glasses. And I've been wearing glasses ever since. And matter of fact, some of them got a little higher dose. All right, bifocals. Things will happen. I wouldn't have this diabetes. Okay? See, you can refute all that crazy talk about a Christian. Here's the crazy part of it. You can get somebody who believes that somebody's holier than thou that's teaching them, saying this kind of stuff to a point where you didn't believe, that's why you didn't get healed. And because you believe them. You really believe them because they are saint whoever. They don't know what they're talking about. Why this unsaved person got stealing? He came out cussing. We thought he was going to die in the hospital. He got up and what happened to that one? Well, God is long-suffering, trying to get him saved. Let me move on. Let me move on. Y'all ain't going to hold me up no more. Got to go. Okay, what verse am I on? 25, okay. 25, it says, then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. Now, those disciples believe with what they saw going on around them, that they were going to die if Christ didn't do something. You got to see this now. So they knew he was in the boat. All right, watch this now. Because they were shaking him. He was right there in arm's length. But he won't do anything. He was asleep. All right? So they want to wake him up. They say, because let's wake him up and get his attention. Some of us in our prayer, we're still trying to get God's attention. We feel that way. God, you know this going on. I'm trying to do this, trying to make this work for me. But God saying, I can't nothing working. It'll work a little bit, then it'll stop. God, give me some direction in my head and in my heart. So you're shaking him through prayer. You're trying to get his attention. But watch this. Here's a good thing about this. Here's a good thing. Now, I talk about the negative. No, I talk about the positive. The good thing, when you know that you know, get ready to catch this now, that God is in your life, in your boat of your life, you know you can shake him through prayer. And something they knew they couldn't do nothing with that storm, but they had another. You may have a situation or a sickness, you can't do nothing with it, but ain't all you got is you. Don't tell me, don't shake him through prayer. Don't tell me stop praying. Because I can't do it. I don't have the strength. Watch this. I know in whom I'm shaking. I know he can. I know he's able. I know that I know he loves me. I know there's no greater love for me. Nobody loved me like Jesus. You got to know that. And I know that he cares for me. And he told me whenever I get a burden. So why are you shaking in prayer? I'm shaking because he showed me, he told me to come. He told me, Cass, I got something I don't want to keep. I want to cast it. I got something in my life that seemed to not let me go. But he said, I can cast it. God, I'm casting it through prayer. I'm standing here in a need of casting a burden off of me. There are those who are around me, if you don't have no burden, that's your business. But as for me, you said in Peter, that if I got a care, a burden, I can cast it. I'm trying to give you this one. Do I need to keep shaking you? I got something I can't handle. I can't do nothing with this tempest. There's a lot of things I could do something with. I didn't even come to you. But I got one now. They got a hold of my life. It won't turn me loose. Turning me everywhere but loose. But I know Jesus, he's able, yes he is, to do more than I ask or think. I gotta come believing. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's look at this now. He's shaking. Man. Wow. I got to come back again because I just got something. I mean. And I got to say it before I forget it. If I keep talking, I'm going to forget it. The tempest, the storm, the problem, the situation was shaking them in the boat. So they shook. The only one that could shake the storm. See, sometimes you call on somebody who can't help you. Not that they don't want to. Some just ain't able. But when something comes in your life and shake you, yeah, you say, you can shake me, but I know one can shake you. Yeah, you shaking me. And you got me bending. I'm becoming a beast of burden. But I know somebody who can shake you, who conquers sickness. I know him. By the way, I don't just know him, know of him. I know him personally. Y'all got to say that, son. I know him personally. I'm not talking about somebody I heard about. I know Jesus personally. He came down to the air station and got me. I won't go in no church. I'm down there making me some good money. God said, you sure is making some good money. I'll come to you, Rick. You get your tail over to that Bible study. I'm working on you. Those guys, they just doing what I told them to do. Talk to that guy. I know you talked to a lot of them, but they would know. Keep messing with that Rick. Other one's going, he ain't gonna cuss you. The other one may cuss you. He ain't gonna do that. Well, he's a halfway good guy. He don't know he's lost. But by and by, I went. Ain't never been the same. So one of my friends I led to the Lord over at the craft house in Norfolk. He told me, I said, man, thank you for the cars and things. He said, man, what I owe you, cars and stuff, couldn't do it. I owe you my salvation. He said, man, you led me to the Lord. Me and my wife are so happy. I ain't worried about that. I said, man, but I'm just appreciative that you're still thinking about us. Okay. Oh, man. Oh, Lord. Anybody getting anything? Okay, long as one person getting something, I ain't worried about the rest. Got at least one, but nobody getting nothing. Ah, that's bad. Okay, let's get on through here. I ain't got but what? Where I'm at? Okay, all right. Okay, all right then. The Lord said 26, that's where I'll go. He says, but he said to them, says one, they shake, the storm did its shaking, the apostles did their shaking, the disciples, and screaming. But he said to them, talk to me, Lord, why are you fearful? I mean, Lord, look around us, man, and I know you feel this rock in this boat, the water in the boat and all that. Come on now, you ask why we, come on, man, turning this boat well but loose, and you ask, come on now, oh, you of little faith. Now, this thing you got to highlight. Sometimes it's not that God won't do what he do. Sometimes it's little faith. Now, I guess when he gave word that we were going over, that was it. But it was a growing process. And a lot of times you think you all are that in Christ till you get hit with a terrible situation. Then you find out where you really are. You want all that. All the time you can act like you're all that because you didn't get hit with that situation.
That's right.
But when you got hit with that one, you found out you want all that. Your faith wasn't as strong as what you thought it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, oh, you have little faith. Then he arose. There you go. You know, I want to be a big faith. But in some things, I may just be the one of little faith. Can I say that? Y'all don't have to say it. I'll say it. Maybe not everything, but it may come, but my faith ain't where it should be. Okay. But I still like it. Even with my little faith, he rose. So Maggie, don't tell me, though I got little faith, Christ won't rise to help me. You see it right here? Did you see it? He told them. Did he wrong it? Now, Christ said that. Ye of little faith. So you mean if I got faith, but it's not where it should be, sometimes you let me know it need to grow, but in the meantime, you'll help me too. See, mine going to grow when you stop the shaking of this tempest. No, that's going to grow too. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, ye of little faith. So my faith making me chip. Okay, God, you're right. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. My. If there's turbulence going on in your life, guess who can make a great calm? His name is Jesus. See, I like to talk about him before I celebrate him. So that way when you celebrate him, carry that with me. You know, first Sunday, y'all ain't with me, but I do it anyway. He says, look at here. He says, he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men, there was the great tempest, there was the great cry for help. There was the great calm. Now there was a great sense of wonder. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. See, let me tell you something. They heard the Savior tell the wind and the sea what to do. Therefore, they could recite what had happened. Say, they say, who is this? Let's tell you what he did. He didn't get up and throw a jab at the wind or the sea. He just spoke. Shut up, sea. Shut up. It didn't say he spoke loudly like they did. They were screaming. Because death was rocking the boat. You got some things you want to calm down. Know this, that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's able to speak to that situation. He's able to speak to that sickness. He's able now. And when you come believing that he's able. Huh? And not only he's able, we're going to ask him, will you? I know you're able. I know you love me. But right now, I'm rocking. I'm rocking in my mind. I'm rocking in my heart. My faith may be a little touchy. My faith may be more than these disciples that you said little faith. Now mine may not be as little, Arlene, as theirs. Mine may be mid-sized, but I'm coming anyhow. See, I'm not coming because I've measured my faith and found out it won't up the par. That ain't gonna stop me from coming. Watch this. I'm not coming on the base of my little faith. I'm coming on the base of your love for me. I'm coming because you died for me. I'm coming because you interceded for me. I'm coming because when the enemy accused me, you say, what about the blood? I'm coming on the basis of the blood. I'm coming. Because I'm not my own anymore. I don't belong to me. And being that that is true, I'm coming and asking you, Lord, your child who belongs to you, who's your responsibility. I want you to know, I know you see, but I see too, but they ain't mine. If they were mine, I'd snatch the sickness out of them and throw it in the sea of forgetting. I can't do that. But I know one. If the disciples could calm the sea to save themselves, they would have did it. We'd be no need of trying to wake him up or get in touch with Jesus. But there are some things we just need to get in touch with the master. And you know something about it? Even if you don't do it, once you get in touch with him, some kind of way, he'll throw a calmness. Now, I'm not going to remove it, but let me. He gave Paul an explanation, didn't he? Now, I can't move it, but I got it there for a purpose. So what had happened when he decided not to remove it, Paul took the purpose of it being there and said, well, you love me so much, I wouldn't get the big head in. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. See, in other words, sometimes, Ricks, I want you to be weak. I want you to be weak because you ain't got nothing you depending on but me. You ain't got nothing. Everything is gone. He said, but then I'm seeing powerful. There was a great sense of wonder. All right. And what did they say, that last verse? What did they say? Who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him. All right. He is the God-man. He is the sinless one who came to save sinners. He is the one God appointed to die for our sins. He is the one who has conquered death and the grave and lives to be our leader, teacher, intercessor, and most of all, to be our Lord. Lord of lords, King of kings, that's who he is. Oh, you keep living. Some things come late in life for some. Some things come midway in life for others. Some things come early real early. There's some young folk been suffering from birth. Had a situation from birth, and they died with that situation. But you pray that they died in Christ, because we know how God will make things better. Are you rocking today? Are there some things in your life today that you feel that you want to have a short prayer about?